Judge Henson and thank him, Lord, for, and thank you, Lord, for him, for his stroke getting better before the Lord. Pray for all our members here at the church, to stare at her eyes and have her in a great place of her, Father. Lord, we do pray for the Bobcroft coming to Oakdale, Lord. And thank you, we will bless us. We will be able to travel to Oakdale, the Bobcroft, Lord. We do pray in your son's name, Lord Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, the Bible conference in Oakdale is only about a month away, Oakdale, Louisiana. I haven't got the scheduled yet from them, but I will be there, Lord willing, and Rebecca will be with me, Lord willing. Without wasting any more time, 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you will, for our text scripture. We're continuing our study on God's grace or man's free will, or God's grace and works, is the way you want to look at it. This is going to be a long series of messages. And the reason it's going to be a long series of messages is because there's a lot to be said. There's probably one message outside of the gospel itself that needs to be preached over and over and over and over all the way till Jesus comes, and that is salvation by grace of God. People need to understand that when we die, we're going to travel one of two roads, so to speak. We're either going to travel the wide road that leads into eternal fires of lake of fire, where the devil and all of his angels are. And we're going to travel the narrow road which leads to Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. It's not a choice. It's not a decision on your part. It's not by anything you do. It's by the grace of God. Amen. I am saved today by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. I am everything I am in my life today by the grace of God. I consider everything in my life, no matter what it is, given to me by the grace of God. Amen. I thank God for this church. I thank God for the ministry here. I thank God for everybody that's part of this organization, this church. We have a wonderful church here. And one of the most wonderful things about it is we believe in the sovereignty of God. Amen. The problem in this world is not very many believe in the sovereignty of God anymore. I say anymore because years ago, decades ago, a lot of different denominations used to believe in the sovereignty of God to a point. All of this Arminianism, all this Charles Finneyism, all came about in the last 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. And the United States of America has been around for decades, centuries. But to America, it's really flowered up in the last 50 or so years. Why? Why can't people understand the Word of God? Two reasons. One is the gift of understanding God's word is a gift of grace from God. Secondly, the word of God is a conviction. The conviction is what we see there. The reality is what God is saying there. The problem we have in a lot of the world today is a lot of people grew up not understanding anything but Pentecostalism, Church of Christism, Catholicism, all of the other isms. Now they get their kicks with people like Jocelyn Myers and little Bubba down here in Houston, and all these Jimmy Swaggerts and all these Oral Roberts and all these other demon characters out there that are not Christians. They're not teachers of God's word. They are wrong.
Amen.
So, what I've decided to do, after much prayer, and after God putting it in my heart to do so, is to explain in detail over the next 6 months to a year on Wednesday nights why it is people misunderstand and what they misunderstand. The problem is they take the word of God out of context. I tell people that God saves by grace, through faith, not of yourselves, just to get to God. You know what people tell me? I'm sugarcoating it. Woo! I don't know how in the world they're sugarcoating it, but if that's what they believe, that's what they believe. So let's go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. A scripture you should all probably know. All scripture. How much of it? Every bit of it. Every letter of every word of every verse in this Bible of all 66 books is given by the inspiration of God.
Amen.
And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if you think you're saved, search the scriptures. They didn't say go to your pastor and ask him. They said search the scriptures. You know why? Because in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you how you're saved. I can tell you. Any pastor that knows the truth of God's word can tell you. But the Holy Spirit is the one that does convicting. So Jesus said, go into the word of God. Search the scriptures. In them you'll find me. He goes on to say, verse 6, why all this is important to us, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, don't misunderstand me. And I'm not gonna skip around with my voice here to make it sound something like it's not. The word of God was not written to lost people.
Amen.
The word of God is a letter from God to all Christians who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts to understand it. The problem is, you got a lot of yahoos out there, like Bubba down in Houston, who really don't know what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Joel Osteen would not know the Word of God if he saw it. He would not understand it, neither would Oprah Winfrey, neither would Jocelyn Myers, neither would any of the others there. The Catholics don't understand it, and neither do any others.
Amen.
If you do not believe what God says about salvation, you're not saved. What does God say? Well, we started this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. Listen closely to what God says. For by grace you are saved through faith. Now catch this. Not of yourselves. You are saved by the grace of God through faith, not of yourselves. It, salvation, it's a gift of God. That's the reason it's by grace. That's the reason it's not earned. That's the reason it's not up to you to choose. It's not up to you to make your mind up. It's not a decision for you to make. Preachers that preach your salvation by decision and choices and any other way is not teaching you the truth. Not of works, We're saved by grace through faith. It's not of our own selves. It's a gift of God, and it's not by works. You know what that tells us? Any preacher tells you you got to work your way to heaven, don't know what they're talking about.
Amen.
Lest any man should boast. For we are his creation. His workmanship is his creation. We are God's creation, created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Now what that tell you? That tells you what Paul told you was, I am what I am by the grace of God.
Amen.
I'm a Christian. I'm an apostle. I wrote books of the Bible. I did so many things for so many churches and so many people, and it's all by the grace of God. None of it was of me. Paul said, in this flesh dwelleth nothing good, no good thing. So, God point blank said that salvation is not of works. Now, go to Romans 11, verse 5. I know we've had these. I don't care. I won't read them again. Even so, verse 5 of Romans 11, it says, even so, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. How? By the election of grace. If by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, it is no more grace. Otherwise, works, it's no more works. You can't have it both ways.
Amen.
If you're working your way to heaven, if you're doing good things in your life to trying to get to heaven, stop singing about God's grace and amazing grace. Avoid the song. Avoid it plumb out of your life. It means nothing to you. Don't teach about the grace of God. You don't know what it means. Because you cannot teach salvation by grace and salvation by works. God said they're not there. God said his salvation is not of works. So why is it that little old me understands such things that people with PhDs couldn't understand? That's by grace, God's grace. Everything I understand about truth is God's grace. It's God's revelation. These other folks, what they do is they misinterpret the Word of God.
Amen.
They abuse the Scriptures. And we're going to look at some of those Scriptures tonight that they abuse. And I'm going to show you exactly how they abuse them. God said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure. Not your pleasure.
Amen.
His pleasure. Whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's your salvation, whether it's the church you join, whether it's understanding of the truth of the Word of God, whether it's good works that you do in your life after you're saved, it don't matter what it is, God, according to Ephesians 2:10, told us that he ordained those works before the foundation of the world. And right here, he tells us that God is in us, working us the will and to do of his good pleasure. Now go to Proverbs, if you will. Proverbs chapter 19, the first part of it. Proverbs 12:19, I'm sorry. I'm trying to hurry. Proverbs 12:19 in the first part. It says in Proverbs 12, verse 19, the first part, the lips of truth shall be established forever. It's not going to change. It's never going to change. The truth is only God's word.
Amen.
Because God is truth. Let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. One problem is, people don't believe in a sovereign God. They don't. They don't believe God is sovereign. They don't believe that God doesn't change. They don't believe that God is omniscient, omnipotent, all holy, all everything else. The Bible is written by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired these people to write the Word of God to us. There's no contradiction. Any fool that ever tells you that there's contradiction in the Word of God don't know what they're talking about. Any fool that ever tells you that Paul spoke one way, James spoke another, is a fool. What we have to do as Christians to put the truth of God's Word together is to understand that there's no contradiction. And everything goes with everything else. Go to Romans chapter 3, if you will, and John 4. Romans 3 and John 4. Therefore, the truth comes from God, and the truth can be adulterated from the truth. It can be altered and adulterated from the truth and makes me a liar. Pastor, you're getting crazy. Read Romans 1, 24, 25, 26, where it says that they will take the truth of God's word, change it into a lie, and what do they do with it? When they change it into a lie, they make it praise man instead of God. So works is praise of man. If you make a decision for Christ, you're praising man. Nobody ever prays to God and says, you know, God, I know you don't have anything to do with this, but it sure would be nice if Jimmy would be saved. No, they pray to God for Jimmy to be saved. After believing the garbage and trash and lies that they believe. Romans chapter 3, verse 4, the first part, says, God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. I had to put all the scripture there. I'm not going to read all the scripture. That's what I want from it. The rest goes along with that. God doesn't change his mind in the rest of the scripture. God said, let God be true and every man a liar. This right here is the word of God. That right there is infallible. That right there has not one single mistake in it.
Amen.
It doesn't have a lie in it. Everything in it is absolute truth. Well, I can show you some. Yeah, you can show me some scriptures out of context, and you can make them say what you want them to say, and you can make them mean what you want them to mean, but they don't make them the Word of God. That doesn't make it truth, does it? John chapter 4, verse 23. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers, listen, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such worship. God's not worried about us. Lord, I am. Oh, Jesus, here I am. He's not worried about we're rolling down the aisle. He's not worried about we wear a big hair up in a bun. He's not worried about we sitting there judging everybody. He's not even worried about if you say amen or not. I don't know how people resist saying it, but they do. When Worshiping the Lord is spiritual. It's inside of us.
Amen.
And it's true, what's inside comes out. It's a shout, and our Baptists don't shout.
Amen.
We have a lot to shout out. We have to fall on our knees every day before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Every night, every day. Verse 20. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him are spirits of him and spirit and truth. The truth is God's truth. The uncompromised, in context, pure word of God. Just as a church should be the pillar and ground of truth. Everybody wants to talk about this big universal visible church. Yeah, right. The Catholics are part of the church. The Methodists are part of the church. The Church of Christ is part of the church. Pentecostals are part of the church. World is part of the church. We just have one big happy church out there. Well, how is that the pillar and ground of truth? If they're not teaching truth. Explain that to me. Please explain to me how a church can be the pillar and ground of truth if they're not even preaching truth.
Amen.
Second Peter 3 and 2 Corinthians 4. So the church is pillar and ground of truth. Never preaching falsely for ever any reason. We don't change the truth. How dare we? How dare we change the truth? I have found myself in error over the years, and I have repented and changed my thinking to the truth. Because God showed it to me. God revealed it to me. I will give my life for the truth. I will always preach the truth of God's word. It might not be true to you. You might not believe it. You might not understand it the way I do. We might not see eye to eye on it. But to me, it's absolute truth. Because I get it from God's word. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16 says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. They wrestle with the truth. Because they're uneducated in the Word of God. I don't care what human education you have. If God can take a bush and make it speak the truth, he can take a dumb old country boy like myself and make me speak the truth. I don't need a PhD to understand the Word of God. My PhD is the Holy Spirit. Yes, they are things hard to understand. And if you're only going to read one verse out of a whole section of passage of Scripture, and you're going to try to make an entire doctrine out of some one Scripture out of a whole book, then yes, you're going to be wrong. You're going to be wrong. You're going to be wrong because you're taking it out of context. People don't understand the Word of God. They don't want to. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to know the truth. All they want to hear and what they want to know is what they grew up learning. I grew up learning that we made a decision for Christ. It was our choice. I don't believe that anymore. Because I grew up learning the wrong thing. I grew up learning the lie. So God repented me of it. He says they're unable to rest, as they do also the other scriptures. Listen, unto their own destruction. That's right. They're going to be these that stand before the great. They're going to be these that stand before the great white throne. And they're going to say to them, Lord, Lord, look in those books you opened, Lord. Look at my words. I prophesied. That means I was a preacher. I cast out devils. That means I was something weird. And I did all these wonderful things for you in your name. And don't you understand, Lord? Can't you just see that? But Jesus is going to open that one book, that single book. He's going to go down the list of names. He don't have to. He knows every name in it. He's going to say, your name's not there. If your name was there, you wouldn't be here. But since you're here, your name's not in my book. And you're going to go to hell for all eternity. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many devils you cast out. Many people have a great zeal for God, and not according to knowledge, as Paul said. 2 Corinthians 4, if you will. I got to hurry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, says, therefore, saying we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we fight not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience and the sight of God. When Paul said, therefore, we see we have this kind of ministry, what kind of ministry was it? The kind described in chapter 3, a ministry that brings men life and salvation. A ministry that talks about God giving salvation by His grace and mercy, by His goodness and kindness. Not because anything we are, not because anything we grew up, not because anything we believe, not because anything we done. Nothing. So, well, I believe in Jesus. The Bible says if you believe, you're saved. The Bible goes a little farther than that. Bible says you have to believe in your heart. Amen. Yeah? No. That inner person, the spirit. And there's only one way to believe there. You know how you know what has to happen before you can believe there? It has to be quickened and made alive. And the only one can do that is the Holy Spirit. You can show me all the PhD ministers you want to. You show me all these great authors in history and all these great things they wrote. But I'm telling you right now, if the Holy Spirit has not quickened your spirit and caused you to believe, you're not ever going to believe. You're lost. You're going to go to hell when you die. Brother W.E. Best, who I'm getting all this from, wrote, people must always remember that truth is based upon the scriptures rather than itself. Whoa, whoa, what a brilliant mind. You know he got that from God? Let me read it again. People must always remember that truth is based upon a sense of the scriptures rather than its sound. Scriptures must be compared with scriptures to discover the truth of any biblical subject. Hallelujah! Thank you. Thank you, sir. What a piece of brilliant writing. Comparing scripture with scripture. So let's compare scripture with scripture. People say that salvation's of works. Whoa. But what did God say? Well, we just read two passages out of probably 100 that we could read that salvation's not of works. So we must conclude first and foremost that salvation's not of works. Anything you compare in the scriptures, you must compare to those scriptures. That's what Beth said. Wow. Wow. What a brilliant mind. God gave it to him. Proper understanding of salvation by grace is only understood of churches of sovereign grace. What, you think you're going to go to First Baptist Church, or any of them? We've probably got 15, 20 First Baptist churches here in this Texas County Metroplex area. I guess we can call it Metroplex. We've probably got 15, 20 First Baptist churches, and that's all the other Baptist churches around here, they so-called. You think they're going to preach sovereign grace? No. We have a Reformed church that don't know anything about the church here, that preaches some sovereign grace. People are 2 points sovereign grace, 3 points sovereign grace, 4 points sovereign grace, 5 points sovereign grace. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, TULIP has 5 letters to it. And all 5 of those letters has a specific meaning, which we're going to get into very quickly, that tells you all you need to know about the sovereignty of God. That's next Wednesday night. We're going to get to TULIP. So proper understanding of salvation by grace is only through sovereign grace churches. Not Calvinist churches. I'm not a Calvinist. Are y'all Calvinists? I'm not a Calvinist. Don't ever call me a Calvinist. Somebody ever calls me a Calvinist, I'm going to straighten them out real quick. I am not a Calvinist. I am a 5-point sovereign grace Baptist that believes in TULIP. Amen. That's in the church that Jesus Christ started. I am in the bride of Christ. Amen. And here we teach 5 points. Sovereign grace. And if people don't like it, as a lot of them have told me, I said, well, maybe you'd be better off in another church. Because we're not changing, so you'll be here. If you want to come, come on. We'd love to have you. We're not going to change our whole doctrine, so you'll be happy. But Sovereign Grace Baptist churches are without question not associated with John Calvin. I don't know of a Sovereign Grace Baptist church of truth that claims to be a Calvinist. And if you do, give me a call sometime. We'll sit down and talk about John Calvin. John Calvin lived in the 1500s. He was never a Baptist. Ever. He was essentially a part of the Reformed folks that came out of the Catholic Church. Some credit him with starting the Presbyterian Church. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Some say he didn't, some say he did. I don't care. I don't care who started the Church of Christ, the Pentecostal Church, the Lutheran Church. in the church. All I know, Jesus started the church. When he was on this earth, and it still exists today. John Calvin, as I understand it, systemized what is called TULIP, T-U-L-I-P, better known as Calvinism, but it isn't. It's the 5 points of Psalm of Grace. However, the real creator of TULIP is God. It's taught in the Bible. I'm going to try to start pretty soon preaching through John 6, the book of John chapter 6, and in it is all 5 points of Psalm of Grace. So let's briefly look real quickly at these 5 points before we get into them next Wednesday night. T, TULIPS, stands for total depravity. U stands for unconditional election. L stands for limited atonement. That's the one they really hate. Excuse me, I got a lot on that, so. The I stands for irresistible grace, and the P stands for preservation, perseverance of the saints. We'll get into that, start that next week. We certainly won't finish it next Wednesday, but we're going to get into it because I've got about 4 pages on that. We're not going to just buzz through it. We're not buzzing through nothing, folks. We're here to stay. We're going to bolt ourselves down. We're going to get the ratchets. We're going to ratchet ourselves down. We're going to look at this whosoever will stuff. We're going to look at all this stuff. And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to explain it all to you in detail. Believe me this. When God said whosoever believeth, he don't mean everybody's going to believe. Or whoever chooses to. Or whoever makes the decision to. When God talks about all coming to Christ, he doesn't mean everybody. Amen. Remember this. When you read the Word of God, God is not a liar. There's no contradiction in the Word of God. Amen. As Brother Beth said, you got to take one scripture and make it go along with the other scriptures. You got to make sense of both sets of them. If you're not making sense of both sets of them, then you are wrong. Thank you for